hear you. I'm going to put my thumbs up. If not, we're just going to have to tweak for a minute with Shay. So are we ready?
Can you all hear me?
Yeah, the only thing that was on my heart as I was listening to Randy share was when we see, when the Spirit of God reveals Jesus to us in reality, there's a contrast that's really created. And that's the only way that the reality of what Randy's sharing, what the scriptures are teaching about Christ crucified, starts to make any sense at all. Otherwise, to see Jesus, that this is how he is, and then he be in us, that's the only hope for this, for him to come out in this way in our lives. Otherwise, it's vanity, and it just doesn't work. You know, I've tried to allow him to work in me and through me this way, but until he forms himself in us and we actually choose to allow him to do this in us, it just is not going to work. So.
And it takes Jesus revealed and formed in us to live this. Amen. And I heard a lot of comments in the background on Skype last class. We agree with that. Amen. It has to be Jesus. Okay, and so now we're going to hear from Geraldine.
Hello, can you hear me? Hello? Yeah. Well, I'm so sleepy, I can't remember anything that was taught. I do agree with Tony. Every time Randy spoke, there was this division. And like at least 9 times out of 10, I chose, I'm not able. But I want it to be 9 times out of 10 that I choose Christ. There's just those little challenges. The Lord, only the Lord and the Spirit in you that knows you only. The challenges, and you go, I'm listening to the teaching, I'm busy, I don't need to, but each time he challenges you, you can say yes and amen, because you're not able anyway, but Christ in you is. And if you give him the thumbs up, he'll do it. Thanks.
Thank you, Geraldine. Thank you so much. Sharon, did you have anything? It's okay if you don't.
Oh, I just said ouch a lot as Randy was sharing. Ouch, 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 but I'm still here. He didn't run me off.
We love your heart for Jesus. Mom got cut off by a bad thunderstorm, so she's not with us, but she wants to be very badly. And I think, Mama, that's it. Thanks, guys. We love you.
Let's try to finish this off in Romans 15. So if you'll turn there with me, Romans 15. Keep your place there because that's where we're primarily at. But turn with me also to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, which, as you know, is dealing with this same subject. And let's look at verse 13 there. Paul talking, and he says, "Wherefore, if food make my brother to offend, I will eat no meat while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." And this is, I believe with Paul, this is not just words. I mean, folks, you may not agree with me, but I believe we're dealing with a man here that is in Christ crucified. And he means that if he thinks that's going to offend somebody, he believes that that is more than offending that person. That is offending Christ crucified. That is offending his life and his Lord. And he is literally willing, literal, now come on, literally willing not to eat meat anymore. Ever. Now, that's what I would call a involuntary vegan. No, not really. But that's not his, you know, vegetarian there. His heart is so formed out of Christ crucified, out of the cross, that he believes that it would be Christ crucified. He believes it would be Christ to cut out something that is a right, a privilege, a joy. That's, to me, that's just amazing. That's just amazing of how his heart is. So basically he's saying, we who are strong, we ought to lay down what things there are that benefit us for the good of others. Okay, words, or are they? We ought to lay down what benefits us for the good of others. All right. We can agree morally that that's correct, maybe, or ethically, or whatever. But just because we believe in ethics doesn't make us ethical. It doesn't. And to take on, and this is really what I think Tony was trying to say, to take on such a task without Christ crucified being your life is sort of like torture. You know, because you're trying to do something that rubs against the grain of your old nature. Amen? It's just true. It just it goes against our grain. We don't go that way, you know. It's like, you know, it's like a fish trying to go upstream. You know, I've often said, you know, dead fish go downstream. You know. Anyway, but he's not simply seeking for them to lay down their lives in this particular situation, but even greater, he desires it. His desires for them to gain a view that moves beyond that of knowledge and rights and personal preferences unto explaining things by Christ crucified. Now, folks, if that's the real case, how do we get there? How do you ever go against your own preferences? I mean, it's not easy. And your own rights, especially when, you know, here's the deal. Jesus didn't just give up his rights, folks. People ripped off his rights. They ripped off his rights for a trial. They ripped off his rights for a fair trial. They ripped off his rights for all those things. But he also laid them down. Do you understand that? He also laid them down. All right. Why is it that when we get in a situation where somebody takes away our rights, we can't see Christ crucified in it at all? We just see a mean person who has, you know, usurped whatever I had, and they're taking something away from me, and we get all bent out of shape, and we go through all of this stuff, and we're not with the Lord, and we're praying to the Lord, asking him to deal with the other person or something, you know, get them or something, you know, sick them, Lord, or something, which is so weird because God is not going to sick them. He's not even dealing with them. He'll deal with them in his own time, in his own place. Peter says, well, what about him? Talking about John, remember? Well, what about him? What about that guy? And Jesus said, basically, that's none of your business what I do with him. You know, you follow me. Well, this isn't following you. This is out of the realm of you. This is either in the realm of the devil or in the realm of people being wrong and mean and, you know, shall we say, this is in the realm of the knowledge of good and evil. Oh, we can't say that. Oh, this is, you know. But that's where it is. It's for us, it's in the realm of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's not in the realm of the tree of life. It is not in the realm of the cross. It is not. It's just a situation to us. Nothing eternal about it. We refuse to make it an eternal moment because we're so petty. You know? I want my right. I want it to be this way. Well, okay. Like I said, as Tony said, until the Lord reveals his Son in you in that manner, and I could actually see why a lot of people wouldn't want Jesus to be revealed in them in this way. They don't want to give up their selfishness. Okay? Well, guess what? We can't judge them for that. We're not better than them because we choose death. We have the same selfishness. Maybe we're more sick of ours than they are, and we're ready for the cross. We'll embrace something that's not fun. Oh, we're better because we're doing without the very things that we want. I don't even know what that is. You know, if they really comprehended the choice that we've made, they would know that we don't think ourselves better. The one reason why we would choose this is because we're not better, because we're weak, because we're insufficient in this situation.
The only thing in us doesn't choose that.
Yeah, he's the only one. All right, so let's see, where was I? Christ died for these weak ones, so we ought to be willing to forego certain things for them also. I mean, he died for, and he didn't just die. He was horribly treated, knowing he could call 10,000 angels and didn't. Why? For himself? For them. For them. But we call 10,000 angels for us. For us. Christ died for these weak ones, so we ought to be willing to forego certain things for them also. Paul would hope that they would understand that to walk in the cross is to exercise your right to forego your right. How many of you think you really got that, at least heard what I said in a good way? Maybe? Yeah, I could tell. Paul would hope that they would understand that to walk in the cross is to, here it is, to exercise your right to forego your right. Because that's really what it is. Really, it is. You have a right to forego it. Remember, I quoted it last class. Jesus said, I have a right, I have a commandment from the Father. I can take up my life or lay it down, whichever one that I choose. I choose to lay down my life. Okay? He had a right to take up his life, and he chose or to go the other way, and he chose to exercise his right not to claim his right to live. And I don't think we really see it like that. I don't think we really see that we are exercising our rights to choose Christ crucified. And I can choose Christ crucified if I want to. The whole world may hate me. The whole world may call me all sorts of names or say all sorts of stuff, but I can choose Christ crucified if I want to, and I choose him for me. And I choose him to share with you because you have stayed. You know, it's like Sharon said, ouch, 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 but I'm still here. She's exercising her right, aren't you? Or who's that over behind you with a stick? Oh, never mind. All right, so Paul had previously acknowledged that the knowledge group was in the right in this situation as far as knowledge. But it is because of their firm stand with the Lord that Paul expects that the strong have received greater strength to be able to bear greater burdens. Not their own, but that of the weak. They are bearing a greater burden. Not their own, but that of the weak. Well, what's the purpose of being strong if you're going to lay your burden on weak people? You know, if you saw that out on the street, You know, you saw some rich, wealthy guy grabbing up a homeless person. You know, when I first started growing my beard, I manicured it, and I was trying to look like, you know, a sophisticated. Now I just look like a homeless person. I'm just letting it go. But anyway, you know, but if you you saw that, you would go, that's not right. And yet we do it spiritually all the time to people. We lay a burden on what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to adjust. No, you know, I'm strong. I know better. Trust me. Trust me on this one. Adjust to me or the way I think, you know. I remember somebody said a long time ago, they said, Randy, people have been writing bad stuff about you. And I said, you know, this is a free country. I mean, people do have, we do have a right to be able to speak our own minds and to say, that's half of the beauty, you know, of the country that we're in. People have a right to, what am I, a censor? No! You see what I mean? I'm only a censor if it comes back negative to me, but then I want us to have free, come on, where is the reality of it? The reality comes when you go, you know what? They've got a perfect right to say whatever they want. You know, thank God that they're in a country where they can do that. Because you know what? In some countries, you do that to the wrong person, you'd be locked up for life. You know? Pardon? Or killed, yeah. So, you know, praise God. All right, so... as concerning us today, if we are ever to bear the burdens of the weak, we must not just be strong, but be strong enough to do this by Christ crucified. Amen. That's the key. We must not just be strong in scriptures and in doctrine, but strong enough to bear the burdens of the weak. Then you are truly a strong person. To be able to do this in this way is proof that one is truly among the strong. Okay? 1 Corinthians 6:12 along with 1 Corinthians 10:23 through 24 and 33 seem to confirm this. Romans 15:1 through 2. Lumping a few things together. All things are lawful, but all things are not temple building acts. All things are not acts of temple building. Let no one seek his own. Let no one seek his own, but the good of his neighbor. But no one seek his own. We see again in Romans 15:5-6, so let's read it. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see again in these scriptures that this way comes from Jesus and having his mind. Let this mind be in you. What mind? Cross mind. He didn't say a mind of miracles. He didn't say a mind of prophecy. He didn't bring up any of the things that we pretty much bring up in the church. He said, the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. And here he's commenting on that again. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. Let every one of us please our neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but went to the cross for one another. Let this mind be in you. That's what he just said. As pertaining to Christ, the clearest example or explanation of that mind is found in Philippians 2:5-8. But when applied to the believer in practical terms, we should consider verses 2-4. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord in one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So to put others first to your own loss helps to build up the temple, sealing up gaps whereby the enemy might break through. Because if you don't, you offend, you make an offense, you open the door to the enemy to bring in all sorts of junk. Whereas if you laid down your life, you could have filled in that gap. I mean, I realize that these are just words until the Holy Spirit says something. But to Paul, they weren't words. This was the gospel, and I'll show you that in just a minute. Verse 7 of Romans 15. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to glory. Verse 7 explains to us that we are to receive one another, but in what manner? We are to receive one another as Christ received us. We were separated and held at a distance from God until Jesus received us by means of the cross and by his death, as Christ received us to the glory of God. It glorified God by the depth of the selflessness which Christ exhibited. Receive ye. See, he didn't just say receive ye one another. He says receive ye one another as Christ. And his example in all of these things is he's bringing out Christ crucified, selflessly receiving us. And you know, when we were without strength, when we were without hope, when we were yet ungodly, when we were, Christ died for us. He's already receiving us in our worst condition. We're waiting to receive certain people when they're at their best. Okay, you finally, you could say it like this, you finally adjusted to me almost perfectly. I will receive you now, you know. You know what I know, you like what I like, you go what I go, you da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, everything's perfect. But God will see to it, nobody will ever adjust to you perfectly. I mean, because you're the one that he wants to adjust. So he'll never allow everyone to adjust to you, you know. His focus is that one who's on the throne. He's the, let's see, what is he? The Lamb, that's right, the Lamb on the throne, that's right. And everybody adjusts to him, has his mind, becomes of one mind. And from that one accord, and with that one mind, and in according to Christ crucified, we receive one another in the same manner that he did. And then verses 8 and 9. Now I say that Christ Jesus was a servant or a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the nations and sing unto thy name. So he starts off in that, you know, and he says, now I say that Jesus Christ became a servant. That's what he's saying. On behalf of the truth of God, he lowered himself to show, demonstrate the truth of God. He became a servant on behalf of the truth of God so that you might get an idea what the truth of God's really like. He lowered himself on behalf of the truth of selfless giving. The end result was that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, for his selflessness, for his loss, for his death, for his rejection, for his... See, he became a servant for the truth of, for, on behalf of the truth of God to demonstrate that truth. dying for their benefit. As Paul sees it, to not receive one another violates mercy, love, the faith, and the work and way of Jesus on Calvary. Again, we don't see it that way, so it's not a big deal. I just don't receive you. I'll receive you eventually. You know, when you spend more time with the Lord. Whatever that means, you know what that means. I know what that means when I think that. It means when you get right enough to God to fit with me the way I like things to be. You know, I like things to be this way, and I like things to be this way and this way, and therefore I like people to be this way in this situation, and this way and this way in situation. But I could never love you unconditionally. Mike, Matt told me during the break, he said, people aren't afraid of this place because of you, Randy. They're afraid of Mike because they've heard so much about this guy. That's right. Shay is right. He's a monster. All right. So we can read this as if Paul is rebuking them for judgmentalism in Romans 14, but he is not. He is appealing to them to follow Christ in his selfless giving as seen at the cross. Comment?
Yes. Are you saying, I don't know.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Ask.
Romans 15:7.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us before God.
Mm-hmm.
In Christ, in order to, as people say, oh, they're tolerant of that person. No, I'm not tolerant of that person.
That's
right. Only crucified in Christ,
that's
right, will I be able to receive them in love and be able to lay my life down in love and be able to walk out the nature of Christ, to suffer long, to bear their infirmities, to bear up under the insults and the reproaches and whatever it is. I mean, let's say, like, you're raising children, and it's like another time, discipline, another time. It's like, ugh. You know, people lose patience. Like, only Christ crucified can you, never mind, hold it together, but properly form them in the image of Christ, because you're being formed into Christ as they see you modeling that. And that's the only hope for us.
Now, I'm not going to be able to repeat everything you said for them, but... Oh, you, so it is going through. Well, I just want to say that that was really well said and really, really true, because what she stated with conviction is a conviction about herself, but it's true of all of us. But she stated a conviction about herself that she would never, ever be able to receive others as Christ did in all of the stuff that happened to him and all of the things that they did, all the lies they told and all of this. And she said it better than I'm saying it, but unless she is also, unless she is crucified with Christ and this same Jesus becomes her life. And that's it. I mean, that is the conclusion that the world must come to if we're ever going to find true victory. Because true victory, folks, true victory is not in the church. It's in Christ. And true victory is not in right doctrine. It's not. You know, the doctrine of Christ has not changed anybody. Christ changes people. And he is the change. He changes people and he is the change. I mean, hear that, because that's absolutely the truth. And so what that tells me, just that response from Joan tells me that she's actually listening. And I hope we all are, because, you know, what that should stir is a passion, is a drive, a drive, not just a curious hunger for knowledge. God. Because we'll never get there. The crazy thing is, the drive and for a curious hunger for knowledge only puffs us up and makes us more what we don't want to be, if you know what I'm saying. It really does. The answer is Christ. And I know, and you know, that there are people who can spout this stuff better than I can or you can, that can really lay it out there. But there's something lacking. Well, you know, in a very real sense, the real Jesus. And maybe you don't know people like that, but there are people like that. And I could have easily become one of those people, because an environment like this, and an environment like this, other places or whatever, can breed that kind of people. And we are trying to clearly make a break with that in all of our sharing and everything, to say we're not trying to know more stuff and be deeper and impress people with what we know. And if you end up going this way, that way we're talking about, of really knowing the Lord, you won't be more highly respected, because you'll be taking the lower seat and people will think you're someone less, and that you're just sort of a servant that's in this. Oh, you must have the ministry of service to me. You know what I mean? And to us who are great, you know, thank you for working so hard at this conference, you know, for us special speakers and great knowledgeable people, when in reality, maybe you're seeing more Jesus in the kitchen. All right, enough of that. All right, Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Believing in life out of death. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor to our good and edification, for even Christ pleased not. Is that what he's talking about? Is that the believing? Is that the faith he's been putting forth in 14 and 15 here? And the answer, it is. That's what he's talking about. See, we just read this, and because we don't really follow the context and everything, we just go, oh yeah, may the Holy Spirit bless me in my believing that I'm saved and I'm going to go to heaven and that I'm not going to be punished for my sins. That is not the context here, and that's not what he's trying to point out to us. We have to follow beyond one scripture. You have to learn to join two scriptures together, and then three, and then five, and then ten, and then chapters. And anyway, I'm just messing with you. I'm not actually browbeating you here. I'm just saying, you know. So believing in life out of death helps promote self-giving behavior, because there's hope attached to it. Anybody agree with that? Anybody be able to repeat that back to me just the way I said it? No. Well, that was the first part, yes. Believing in life out of death helps promote self-giving behavior, because there is hope attached to it. Now, we know, you know and I know, it's not just self-giving behavior. Can I get an amen? It's not behavior modification. And I would never suggest that. But we have to see that self-giving behavior by Christ has, what was the wording here? There is hope attached to it, because we believe in life out of death. Yes.
The responsibility of that fall lies on the stronger brother, whoever that is. In the same way, if the situation is reversed and you lay your life down, then it's not that it's about me, but that I get to take part in life for them. So it's the same, it's the opposite, but it's the same situation.
Jennifer basically just said it's the same but opposite. But it's opposite, but it's the same. I think y'all can, they heard you. I'm sorry I do all these terrible things. You know, when I finally get conformed to what I'm teaching here, I won't be teasing y'all so bad. But I tease you because I love you. All right. It is based in Christ crucified. The thing that makes loss acceptable is a clear grasp of Christ's death at work in us, and this being accepted as our new standard. because we know, again, there's something attached to it, resurrection. Okay, Romans 14 through 16. This will be the last scriptures in the chapter we're going to deal with right now. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the servant of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, serving up the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. It's pretty powerful, isn't it? Sanctified by the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's just amazing, isn't it? Anybody enjoying this stuff? Well, tough. It's almost over with. But it really is amazing stuff here. First of all, just this, I love this little verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you. Listen to this. There's good things that he has to say about them. I'm persuaded of you, my brethren, so they're in the family of God, that you also are full of goodness. Okay? Filled with all knowledge. Okay, but these are the issues he's been dealing with them over. Amen? Able also to admonish one another, including the weak, because that's who they've been admonishing. Nevertheless, see, here's the deal. In other words, he's saying, you have rights to do that. You have come to a level of understanding of the scriptures to do that. You see, do you understand? In a certain sense, he's not rebuking them. He's saying that's good, that's true, and you have all of that. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind. And he's putting them in mind of Christ crucified. And he's saying, though you have the right to admonish and the stature to admonish, and though you have the knowledge to do these things, nevertheless, I've been putting you in mind of this because, you know, he didn't say it here, but he does say it a few chapters, well, in 1 Corinthians 13. Nevertheless, the greatest of these is selfless giving, is death to self for the benefit of others. Okay? And then, let's see. Because of the grace of God, and he's saying, here's what he's saying. But I'm doing this, I'm putting you in mind of this because of the grace of God that has been given to me of God, that I should minister to you Romans and you Corinthians, you Gentiles. That I should serve the Lord by serving up the truth in Jesus Christ, the truth as it is in Jesus. And I even put that here. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Well, no, I wrote it down here. Serving the gospel of God to you so that, with the purpose that the offering up, that you would be offering up, that this would be an offering thing, that this would be an acceptable offering by Christ, that this would be Christ's selfless giving through you, and it's not the Old Testament sacrifice, that was a shadow. We're actually doing the real thing that God had in mind in little things. Does that sound good to anybody? All right, in closing. This is my first closing. No, I'm not preaching. That's right. This is in the comments. In closing, Paul tells them that he trusts that they have had good intentions in this matter and that they have the ability and every right to admonish others because of their knowledge of the Word of God. In other words, he's not putting them down, but seeking to reawaken their minds to the mind of Christ based on the special grace he has been given and his place as their servant, given to serve up the gospel to them. Remember that all his exhortations have been along the lines of Christ crucified, which he refers to as the gospel. Okay? I mean, that's what he's talking about here, Christ crucified. That's what he's been talking about. And he is calling that the gospel. Okay? That's the good news. That's what's good news, you know. We go, oh, the good news is I'm not going to burn in hell forever. And that's really good news to me. But he's the good news. See, that's good news for me. No, he's the good news. Our focus keeps going, oh, back on us. Oh, no. He, oh, yeah, amen. Yeah, oh, thank you. And we'll really thank him. But you know what? And I'm sorry, but a lot of times that's just self, and they're going, thank you. I didn't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want to go to hell for. I don't want to suffer for everything I've ever done wrong. Now, I'm not saying it all is, or nobody'd be saved. But I believe that you can turn to the Lord selfishly, continue along until you get the Lord in a very real way, and then leave all that behind.
That's right.
No, that's what I believe. I don't know. I don't know about everybody else, but that's what I. But you know, that's really pretty much what happens to everybody who can. If you continue in my word, you shall know the truth. Well, I thought I knew the truth as soon as I got saved. If you continue in my word, then you'll know the truth. I know the truth. The truth is I'm saved. No, the truth is not you anything. Lord, help us. And finally, notice how he ties the gospel and his emphasis to them concerning Christ crucified to the sacrifices and offerings of Israel. The gospel is tied to the shadow of the sacrifices and offerings of Israel. That's the heart of Israel. That's the center. And the tabernacle is in the middle. And their offerings went up to God. However, those offerings were only shadows of the truth for which God always had in mind. And what he always had in mind was Christ crucified within us. What is that? Ministering the gospel of God that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. That's only, Joan said it, that's only going to happen through us by Christ crucified. We ought to. Why did he say ought? Why didn't he say just do it? Because that's what we ought to do, but if we don't get conformed to the image of Christ, we're not going to do it. You know? All right. That would be Romans 15 summary 2, I guess. Yes? Okay, well, let me say this before we do that. No. Next class, I don't even have it. We will have a class next Thursday. I will be in town. What? The 21st. And that's significant spiritually because we are in the 21st century. So I'm sure that this is prophetically. And today is Flag Day. Need I say more? I know, man. This prophecy stuff, I'm good at it. There you have it. All right, before we just run out of stuff here, next Thursday, the 21st, I'm going to be coming at this one more time in sort of a scenario being represented by four groups, I guess at this stage. I was hoping for something that looks like it won't pan out. So I shall be giving a presentation of four different angles of what we've talked about and why you should believe me, whichever one I am at the time. So I hope I'm very persuasive and that you all find the right me. Sorry, the right one to follow, the truth. So we'll see how that goes next week. And then that'll be the end of this particular course. And next semester, Book of Revelation as you've never heard it. Father, we just thank you for your spirit, your presence. Bless these words that gone forth, but more importantly, bless the work of the Holy Spirit to lift up Christ, to, Lord, not just open our eyes, but as you use the word, metamorphosis, transformation, Father, 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 not just committed caterpillars, but those who have allowed the truth of Christ crucified to transform them on the inside. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we have a few announcements. You can turn that off.